enough finished, however, to send a wave of destruction toward Dilaf's men that was so powerful it tore completely through the first few monks. Bodies collapsed, and others were thrown backward. The remaining monks paused in shock, staring at the Elantrians. Then the Dakhor scattered in an offensive charge, turning from Raoden and Serene to attack this new foe. Dilaf was the only one of his men who thought to duck. The rest, confidently arrogant in their strength, simply allowed the powerful blasts to hit them. Fools, Dilaf thought as he rolled away. Every Dakhor was blessed with special skills and powers. They all had increased strength and nearly indestructible bones. But only Dilaf bore the power that made him resistant to attacks by the door, a power that had required the deaths of 50 men to create. He felt, rather than saw, as his men were torn apart by the Elantrians' attack. The remaining monks were horribly outnumbered. They attacked bravely, trying to kill as many of the vile Elantrians as they could. They had been trained well. They would die fighting. Dilaf yearned to join them. But he did not. Some thought him mad, but he was not a fool. The screams in his head demanded revenge, and there was still a way left. One way to get vengeance on the Teoish princess and her Elantrians. One way to fulfill Wyrn's commands. One way to turn the tide of this battle. Dilaf scrambled away, stumbling slightly as a bolt of energy sprayed against his back. His bone wardings held, and he was left unharmed by the attack. When he had entered the docks a few moments before, he had seen King Evantio disappear down a side alley. He now dashed toward that same alley. His prey would follow. Raoden, Serene said, pointing at the fleeing Dilaf.
Let him go, Raoden said. He can do no more damage.
But that's the way my father went, Serene said, tugging him toward the alley.
She's right, Raoden thought with a curse. He took off behind Dilaf. Serene waved him on, and he left her behind, letting his newly reconditioned Elantrian legs carry him to the alleyway at an extraordinary speed. The other Elantrians didn't see him go, but continued to fight the monks. Raoden entered the alleyway, barely puffing. Dilaf tackled him a second later. The monk's powerful body appeared out of a shadowed corner, slamming Raoden into the alley wall. Raoden cried out, feeling his ribs crack. Dilaf backed away, unsheathing his sword with a smile. The priest lunged forward, and Raoden barely rolled away in time to avoid being impaled. As it was, Dilaf's attack sliced through the flesh of Raoden's left forearm, spilling silvery white Elantrian blood. Raoden gasped as pain washed through his arm. This pain, however, was weak and dull compared to his former agonies. He forgot it quickly, rolling again as Dilaf's blade sought his heart. If his heart stopped again, Raoden would die. Elantrians were strong and quick-healing, but they were not immortal. As he dodged, Raoden searched through his memory of Aeons. Thinking quickly, he rolled to his feet, rapidly scribbling Aeon Edo before him. It was a simple character, requiring only 6 strokes, and he finished it before Dilaf could make a third attack. The Aeon flashed briefly, and then a thin wall of light appeared between himself and Dilaf. Dilaf tested the wall hesitantly with the tip of his sword, and the wall resisted. The more one pressed against it, the more it drew from the door, pressing back with equal strength. Dilaf could not reach him. Casually, Dilaf reached up and tapped the wall with his bare hand. His palm flashed briefly,
and the wall shattered, shards of light scattering through the air.
Raoden cursed his stupidity. This was the man who had destroyed his illusionary face just a day before. Somehow, Dilov had the power to negate Aeon's.
Raoden jumped back, but the sword snapped forward more quickly. The tip did not strike Raoden's chest, but struck his hand instead.
Raoden cried out as the sword pierced his right palm. He brought his other hand up to cup it around the injured one. But the wound on his forearm blazed with renewed vigor. Both hands were incapacitated. He could no longer draw Aeon's.
Dilov's next attack was a casual kick, and Raoden's already wounded ribs cracked further. He cried out and dropped to his knees.
Dilov laughed, tapping Raoden on the side of the face with the tip of his sword.
The Skaes are right, then. Elantrians are not indestructible.
Raoden didn't answer.
I will still win, Elantrian,
Dilov said, his voice passionate and frenzied.
After Wien's fleets defeat the Teoish Armada, I will gather my troops and march on Elantris.
No one defeats the Teoish Armada, priest, a feminine voice interjected, a blade flashing out to strike at Dilov's head. The priest yelped, barely bringing his own sword up in time to block Serene's attack. She had found a sword somewhere, and she whipped it in a pattern that moved too quickly for Raoden to track. He smiled at Dilov's surprise, remembering how easily the princess had defeated his own skills. Her weapon was thicker than a Syri, but she still handled it with remarkable proficiency. Dilov, however, was no ordinary man. The bone patterns beneath his skin started glowing as he blocked Serene's attack, and his body began to move even more quickly. Soon, Serene stopped advancing, and almost immediately, she was forced to begin retreating. The battle ended as Dilov's sword pierced her shoulder. Serene's weapon clanged to the cobblestones, and she stumbled, slumping down next to Raoden.
I'm sorry, she whispered.
Raoden shook his head. No one could be expected to win a sword fight against one such as Dilov.
And my revenge begins,
Dilov whispered reverently, bringing up his sword.
You may stop yelling, my love.
Raoden grabbed Serene protectively with a bleeding hand. Then he paused. There was something moving behind Dilov, a form in the shadows of the alleyway. Frowning, Dilov turned to follow Raoden's gaze. A figure stumbled from the darkness, holding his side in pain. The figure was a tall, broad-chested man with dark hair and determined eyes. Though the man no longer wore his armor, Raoden recognized him. The Yorn, Raethan. Strangely, Dilov didn't seem happy to see his companion. The Dachor monk spun, raising his sword, eyes flashing with anger. He leapt, screaming something in Fjordal, and swung his sword at the obviously weakened Yorn. Raethan stopped, then whipped his arm out from beneath his cloak. Dilov's sword hit the flesh of Raethan's forearm and stopped. Serene gasped beside Raoden.
He's one of them, she whispered.
It was true. Dilov's weapon scraped along Raethan's arm, pushing back the sleeve there and revealing the skin beneath. The arm was not that of a normal man. It showed twisting patterns beneath the skin, the outcroppings of bone that were the sign of a Dachor monk. Dilov, obviously, was surprised by the revelation as well. The monk stood stunned as Raethan's hand whipped out and grabbed Dilov by the neck. Dilaf began to curse, squirming in Raythan's grasp. The Yorn, however, began to stand up straighter, his grip tightening. Beneath his cloak, Raythan was bare-chested, and Raoden could see that his skin there bore no Dakhor markings, though it was wet with blood from a wound at his side. Only the bones in his arm had the strange twisted patterns. Why the partial transformation? Raythan stood tall, ignoring Dilaf, though the monk began to swing at Raythan's enhanced arm with his short sword. The blows bounced off, so Dilaf swung at Raythan's side instead. The sword bit deeply into Raythan's flesh, but the Yorn didn't even grunt. Instead, he tightened his grip on Dilaf's neck, and the little monk gasped, dropping his sword in pain. Raythan's arm began to glow. The strange, twisting lines beneath Raythan's skin took on an eerie radiance as the Yorn lifted Dilaf off the ground. Dilaf squirmed and twisted, his breath coming in gasps. He struggled to escape, prying at Raythan's fingers, but the Yorn's grip was firm. Raythan held Dilaf aloft, as if toward the heavens. He stared upward toward the sky, eyes strangely unfocused, Dilaf proffered like some sort of holy offering. The Yorn stood there for a long moment, immobile, arm glowing, Dilaf becoming more and more frantic. There was a snap. Dilaf stopped struggling. Raythan lowered the body with a slow motion, then tossed it aside, the glow in his arm fading. He looked toward Raoden and Sareen, stood quietly for a moment, then toppled forward, lifelessly. When Galadin arrived a few moments later, Raoden was trying unsuccessfully to heal Sareen's shoulder with his wounded hands. The large doula took in the scene, then nodded for a couple of Elantrians to check on Dilaf and Raythan's corpses. Then Galadin settled down, letting Raoden tell him how to draw Aeon Ain. A few moments later, Raoden's hands and ribs had been restored, and he moved to help Sareen. She sat quietly. Despite her wound, she had already checked on Raythan. He was dead. In fact, either one of the wounds in his side should have killed him long before he managed to break Dilaf's neck. Something about his Dakhor markings had kept him alive. Raoden shook his head, drawing a healing aeon for Serene's shoulder. He still didn't have an explanation as to why the Yorn had saved them, but he quietly blessed the man's intervention. "The Armada," Serene asked anxiously as Raoden drew. "Looks to me like it's doing fine," Galadin said with a shrug. "Your father is searching for you. He came to the docks soon after we arrived." Raoden drew the chasm line, and the wound in Serene's arm disappeared. "I have to admit, Sule, you are lucky as Dolokin," Galadin said. "Jumping here blind was just about the most idiotic thing I've ever seen a man do." Raoden shrugged, pulling Serene tight. "It was worth it. Besides, you followed, didn't you?" Galadin snorted. "We had Aeshi call ahead to make sure you arrived safely. We're not Kayana, unlike our king." "All right," Serene declared firmly. "Somebody is going to start explaining things to me right now." Chapter 63. Serene straightened Raoden's jacket, then stood back, tapping her cheek as she studied him. She would have preferred a white suit rather than a gold one, but for some reason white seemed pale and lifeless when placed next to his silvery skin. "Well?" Raoden asked, holding his arms out to the sides. You'll have to do, she decided airily. He laughed, approaching and kissing her with a smile. Shouldn't you be alone in the chapel, praying and preparing? Whatever happened to tradition? I tried that once already, Serene said, turning to make sure he hadn't mussed up her makeup. This time I intend to keep a close eye on you. For some reason, my potential husbands have a way of disappearing. That might say something about you, Lecky Stick, Raoden teased. He had laughed long when her father explained the nickname to him, and since then he had been careful to use it at every possible occasion. She swatted at him absently, straightening her veil. My lord, my lady, said a stoic voice. Raoden Sion, eyeing, floated in through the doorway. It is time. Serene grabbed Raoden's arm in a firm grip. Walk, she ordered, nodding toward the doorway. This time, she wasn't letting go until someone married them. Raoden tried to pay attention to the ceremony, but Karathi wedding services were lengthy and often dry. Father Omine, well aware of the precedent set by an Elantrian asking a Karathi priest to officiate at his wedding, had prepared an extensive speech for the occasion. As usual, the short man's eyes took on a semi-glazed look as he rambled, as if he had forgotten that there was anyone else present. So Raoden let his mind wander, too. He couldn't stop thinking of a conversation he had held with Galadin earlier in the day. A conversation initiated because of a piece of bone. The bone, retrieved from the body of a dead Fjordel monk, was deformed and twisted, yet it was more beautiful than disgusting. It was like a carved piece of ivory, or a bundle of engraved wooden rods, all twisted together. Most disturbingly, Raoden swore he could make out slightly familiar symbols in the carving. Symbols he recognized from his schooling. Ancient Fjordel characters. The Durethi monks had devised their own version of Aeon Dor. The worry pressed on his mind with such vigor that it drew his attention even in the middle of his own wedding. Over the centuries, only one thing had kept Fjordin from conquering the West. Elantris. If Wyrn had learned to access the door, Raoden kept remembering Dilaf and his strange ability to resist and even destroy Aeons. If a few more of the monks had possessed that power, then the battle could easily have gone another way. Aiene's familiar bubble-like ball of light floated approvingly at Raoden's side. The Sion's restoration almost made up for the dear friends Raoden had lost during the final battle to restore Elantris. Kerita and the others would be missed. Aiene claimed to remember nothing of his time of madness, but something seemed a little different about the Sion. He was more quiet than normal, even more thoughtful. As soon as he had some free time, Raoden planned to interrogate the other Elantrians in the hopes of discovering more about the Sions. It disturbed him that throughout his studies, readings, and learning, he had never discovered exactly how Sions were created, if indeed they were even creations of Aeon Dor. That wasn't the only thing that bothered him, however. There was also the question of Shuden's strange Cheshan dance. Onlookers, including Lucal, claimed that the Jindo had managed to defeat one of Dilaf's monks alone, with his eyes closed. Some even said they had seen the young Baron glowing as he fought. Raoden was beginning to suspect there was more than one way to access the door. Far more. And one of those methods was in the hands of the most brutal, domineering tyrant in Opilon, Wyrn Wulfden IV.
regent of all creation. Apparently Serene noticed Rayodin's inattention, for she elbowed him in the side when Omine's speech began to wind down. Ever the stateswoman, she was poised, in control, and alert. Not to mention beautiful. They performed the ceremony, exchanging Karathi pendants that bore Aeon Omai, and pledging their lives and deaths to one another. The pendant he gave to Serene had been delicately carved from pure jade by Taeyain himself, then overlaid with bands of gold to match her hair. Serene's own gift was less extravagant, but equally fitting. Somewhere she had found a heavy black stone that polished up as if it were metal, and its reflective darkness complemented Raoden's silvery skin. With that, Omine proclaimed to all of Aerilon that its king was married. The cheering began, and Serene leaned over to kiss him. "Was it everything you hoped for?" Raoden asked. "You said you have been anticipating this moment for your entire life."
"It was wonderful," Serene replied. "However, there is one thing I have looked forward to, even more than my wedding."
Rayodin raised an eyebrow. She smiled, mischievously.
"The wedding night."
Rayodin laughed his reply, wondering what he had gotten himself and Aerilon into by bringing Serene to Aerilon. Epilogue. The day was warm and bright, a complete contrast to the day of Iodin's burial. Serene stood outside Kaye, regarding the former king's barrow. Everything Iodin had fought for had been overturned. Elantris had been revitalized, and serfdom proclaimed illegal. Of course, his son did sit on the throne of Aerilon, even if that throne was inside of Elantris now. Only a week had passed since the wedding, but so much had happened. Raoden had ended up allowing the nobility to keep their titles, though he had first tried to abolish the entire system. The people wouldn't have it. It seemed unnatural for there not to be counts, barons, or other lords. So Raoden had instead twisted the system to his own ends. He made each lord a servant of Elantris, charging them with the responsibility of caring for the people in remote parts of the country. The nobility became less aristocrats and more food distributors, which, in a way, was what they should have been in the first place. Serene watched him now, speaking with Shuden and Lucal, his skin glowing even in the sunlight. The priests who said the fall of Elantris had revealed its occupants' true selves had not known Raoden. This was the true him, the glowing beacon, the powerful source of pride and hope. No matter how metallically bright his skin became, it could never match the radiance of his soul. Beside Raoden stood the quiet Galadin, his skin glowing as well, though in a different way. It was darker, like polished iron, a remnant of his Duladan heritage. The large man's head was still bald. Serene had been surprised at that fact, for all the other Elantrians had grown heads of white hair. When asked about the oddity, Galadin had simply shrugged in his characteristic manner, mumbling, "Seems right to me. I've been bald since I hit my third decade. Kolo?" Just behind Raoden and Lucal, she could make out the silver-skinned form of Adine, Deora's second son. According to Lucal, the Sheod had taken Adine 5 years before, but the family had determined to cover up his transformation with makeup rather than throw him into Elantris. Adine's true nature
was no more baffling than that of his father. Kyine hadn't been willing to explain much, but Serene saw the confirmation in her uncle's eyes. Just over 10 years ago, he had led his fleets against Serene's father in an attempt to steal the throne. A throne that Serene was beginning to believe might legally have belonged to Kyine. If it was true that Kyine was the older brother, then he should have inherited, not Eventio. Her father still wouldn't speak on the subject, but she intended to get her answers eventually. As she pondered, she noticed a carriage pulling up to the gravesite. The door opened, and Torina climbed out, leading her overweight father, Count Ahane. Ahane hadn't been the same since Roile's death. He spoke in a dazed, sickly voice, and he had lost an alarming amount of weight. The others hadn't forgiven him for his part in the Duke's execution, but their scorn could never match the self-loathing he must feel. Raoden caught her eye, nodding slightly. It was time. Serene strode past Iodine's grave, and four just like it. The resting places of Roile, Eondel, Caerita, and a man named Seolin. This last barrow held no body, but Raoden had insisted that it be raised with the others. This area was to become a memorial, a way of remembering those who had fought for Eirilon, as well as the man who had tried to crush it. Every lesson had two sides. It was as important for them to remember Iodin's sickening greed as it was to remember Roile's sacrifice. She slowly approached one final grave. The earth was raised high like the others, forming a barrow that would someday be covered with grass and foliage. For now, however, it was barren, the freshly piled earth still soft. Serene hadn't needed to lobby hard for its creation. They all now knew the debt they owed to the man buried within. Raithan of Fjordan, High Priest and Holy Yorn of Shudarath. They had left his funeral until the last. Serene turned to address the crowd, Raoden at their front. "I will not speak long," she said. "For though I had more contact with the man Raithan than most of you, I did not know him. I always assumed that I could come to understand a man through being his enemy, and I thought that I understood Raithan, his sense of duty, his powerful will, and his determination to save us from ourselves. I did not see his internal conflict. I could not know the man whose heart drove him eventually to reject all that he had once believed in the name of what he knew was right. I never knew the Raithan who placed the lives of others ahead of his own ambition. These things were hidden, but in the end, they are what proved most important to him. When you remember this man, think not of an enemy. Think of a man who longed to protect Eirilon and its people. Think of the man he became, the hero who saved your king. My husband and I would have been killed by the monster of Dachor had Raithan not arrived to protect us. Most important, remember Raithan as the one who gave that vital warning that saved Teod's fleets. If the Armada had fallen, then be assured that Teod wouldn't have been the only country to suffer. Wyrn's armies would have fallen on Eirilon, Elantris or no Elantris, and you all would be fighting for survival at this moment. If, that is, you were even still alive. Serene paused, letting her eyes linger on the grave. At its head stood a carefully arranged stack of blood-red armor. Raythan's cloak hung on the end of a sword, its point driven into the soft earth. The crimson cape flapped in the wind.
"No," Serene said. "When you speak of this man, let it be known that he died in our defense. Let it be said that after all else, Raythan, Yorn of Shudarith, was not our enemy. He was our savior."
The End. You've been listening to Elantris by Brandon Sanderson, narrated by Jack Garrett. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.